1027 Business with Michael Avery.
Well, South African inflation came in hot today, a 13-year high, 7.4%, not far off consensus, which I think was around 7.3%, according to Bloomberg. The last time it was this high, Black Eyed Peas, I Got a Feeling, was number one on the Billboard charts. Wayne McCurry, portfolio manager at F&B Wealth and Investments, I Got a Feeling we're in store for a pretty big rate hike tomorrow. What's your call for the MPC?
No, I think we'll get the 0.5%. I don't think. No, sorry. We get 0.75, not 1%. I think the Reserve Bank's not that far behind the curve, so I don't think it'll be a shocker. I think we'll be expecting that,
but not 50 basis points. I know before this inflation reading,
I don't think so.
Some participants were saying 50 basis points. I'm probably with you on that one. I think 75 basis points is what we'll see, because if you look at what the prime interest rate was back in 2009, the last time we saw inflation at these levels, it was 11%. Today, it's 8.25%. Yes. So even if you go 75 bips, you're still 2% behind what it was back then. But the inflationary drivers are a little bit different.
Very different. And I think that's an incredibly valid point to make. Because let's just say tomorrow oil price falls to 60, food prices fall 40%, there's no inflation.
Yeah.
This is not demand-driven inflation. And as the scare to the market, in other words, this high inflation is making markets fall, you know, there's no debt bubble that's going to burst here. Literally, inflation can disappear, in theory, tomorrow. You know, debt bubbles don't disappear. Insolvent companies don't disappear. Insolvent banks don't disappear. But in theory, inflation can disappear tomorrow. If the oil price falls $40, and food prices fall, inflation's out the system.
And we saw
and all the bottlenecks and blah, blah, blah. But yes, this is all supply-side stuff. It's not demand-driven.
I think fuel,
very, very different.
Fuel inflation was up 9.4% as I look at the core numbers here month on month.
Yeah.
45.3% year on year. And I mean, you can see that is really one of the major drivers of what's going on
here.
Yes,
but you know, if you just look now at the dollar price of oil, and that's down from 80% year on year 2 months ago now to 30% year on year. And it's going to go negative very soon.
And is that just a factor of dollar strength, or are we actually seeing the market just, price in a recession? Impacting demand.
I think that could very well be the case, the demand impact. And of course, you're just starting to measure off a higher base. So your year-on-year percentage change plummets. It doesn't mean the price will fall, but you know, a more natural price for oil is $70, not $120.
Mm-hmm. And those base effects are very important. I mean, and there was a great piece written by Tim Cohen in the Daily Maverick. They're going to be talking about, is now a good time to invest in South African equities? And the knee jerk, if you gave someone 100 or 1,000 rand, would be, oh, let's send it offshore. But the thing is, locally, our base is so low. And globally, you know, the base is very high for equities. So, and it's coming down versus our base being
high.
Low and going up. Well, it was high, but it has come down.
It was high.
Yeah. But I mean,
and certainly a lot of the high flying companies have come off hugely. So it's a toss up, me personally, it's a toss up between SA shares and US tech. I mean, they've fallen so significantly. I mean, Netflix is down 60-70%. All the rest are down 50-odd%, except for Google, which is down about 25%. You know, so these companies have taken enormous strain.
And that is the million-dollar question. I'm actually going to be chatting to Skulk Lowe of PSG Wealth about that a little bit later, about whether or not now is a good time. And if you look at history as a guide and what happened around the dot-com bubble, there are some similarities, but there are some notable differences. You know, those tech companies during the dot-com bubble, many of them were kind of pre-earnings, burning through cash, but they weren't really profitable entities at all. It was speculative. And we're not talking about that now. We're talking about companies that have demonstrated historic earnings growth. They're very well-respected, regarded brand names, and quite a different environment. Yes, you know, rates were rising back then, and there was some amount of quantitative tightening that was going on as well. But I do think the fundamentals are vastly different. And so when I look at tech right now, I must say I see a very tempting opportunity, because even if tech falls maybe another 10-15%, you're quite close to the bottom, and when it turns, and there's no one who's going to be standing with a sign up way and saying, okay, this is the bottom, you better pile in, and you might miss that.
Yes, you could very easily. And, you know, these, as you said, these are not dot-com. I can't even remember one dot-com company that's still around from the dot-com bubble. These are substantial companies with substantial balance sheets and massively positive cash flows. It's a very, very different scenario than what we had in 2002, 2003.
Yeah, and I want to come back to, you know, inflationary drivers. We saw U.S. gasoline consumption appear to be slumping just as the summer driving season is getting into full swing there. We haven't seen that not since 2003, as the Energy Department's measure of total implied demand dropped as fast as it did in early July. So that really suggests that, you know, fuel prices are rolling over in the U.S. And, you know, when you start to see that, Swedish house prices falling by the most in 14 years, softs are really, you know, falling out of bed as well. I get the sense that inflation has peaked, and our risk here is of policy missteps by central banks who have lost a fair amount of credibility and now want to not be seen to be timid in the face of inflation, and they end up hiking too much and too aggressively.
It's quite possible. It's quite possible, although you would think that there's maybe they study these price movements probably more than what you and I do, and they know exactly how it works into the system. And because this is not demand driven, it's only supply, as we've said, I don't think they're going to react in it. They worry about demand inflation because it's very difficult to predict, you know, what's going to happen to demand. But the oil price, you know what that is every single day. You know, food prices, you know what they are every day. So they can see them rolling over, the same as you and I. So I don't think they're going to overreact.
Yeah, I do hope they just wait for the effects of the rate hikes that have already, you know, been incurred in the market. We've had two in the U.S., and we need to start to see that take effect before we really see any more hugely aggressive moves, I would imagine. But we'll wait and see what the MPC says tomorrow. We also had some very interesting news in the energy markets globally around what's going on with Nord Stream. One, and Putin still kind of using this as a de facto sort of Damocles almost over Europe and the West in terms of his invasion of Ukraine. And it doesn't look good. The EU asking its members to cut consumption by 15%. And as we're going to be heading into this winter, I think it's going to place a lot of pressure on the European Union. That said, I was chatting to Lawrence Rapp of Vukili, and he says the Spanish economy is absolutely motoring along. People are back, tourists are back, the locals, because of inflation, are deciding to rather stay at home and, you know, spend their holidays in Spain for a change. And he says, you know, the retailers, the malls, the strip malls are absolutely pumping.
Well, look, that's very good news to hear, but that's a very small economy. I mean, it's truly tiny. It's German consumption expenditure and France consumption expenditure that really counts, not tourists in Spain and Portugal. But yeah, look, they've got to find, until this war ends, they've got to find other gas from other sources or energy from other sources. But I can promise you the amount of gas and energy being used is gas prices are up, you know, multiples. There will be significantly less usage. It's just a pricing effect. But yeah, we just hope that some sanity returns to essentially Russia and Putin, and we find some resolution to this, because I don't see anyone who's winning yet. I just don't see anyone who's winning.
And I mean,
the Russian economy is being pummeled. Yeah.
Well, that's the major concern, I think, for a sustained higher oil price as well. And, you know, not a good read through that for inflation. Nedbank came out with a trading statement, the half-year trading statement. We got it's the first of the big banks to come out. And we really see a good look here at what we might expect. Yes. Headline earnings per share up between 23 and 28%. That's a quarter. I mean, that's really some going.
That's big, yeah. And, I mean, actually, FirstRand also issued a trading update quite a while back, beginning of June. But they didn't give an exact number. They just said our earnings are going to be up more than 20%. And we're going to see this from all the banks. They way over-provided for bad debts during the COVID crisis. And there's probably still another year and a half, maybe even 2 years of decent earnings out of banks simply by the reversal of the bad debt provisions. Now, the banks actually, the earnings look fantastic, and there might even be a couple of special dividends paid out as well.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to watch this earnings season. Well, I'll rather err on the side of caution, and I think we saw that across the banks, as you said. I want to come back to the REIT space, and I think Vukile in quite a good space, actually, amongst the REITs because of its retail exposure. It doesn't have too much office. You know, it's not in any of those which are really hated at the moment. You look at Fortress, and Fortress is more just a capital structure issue because operationally it's another really good REIT. But this FFB war and the poison pill in the way this whole thing was structured, that they couldn't pay dividends for as long as they didn't meet the threshold. I mean, whoever wrote that, I hope it wasn't you, Andrew Brooking, but what do you think of, we've got the circular, we've got the ratio, it's unchanged at 3-1. The independent experts get a range of between 2.5 and 3.4. It seems to be in the middle of the range. What do you expect to happen on the 18th of August?
Look, to be honest, I haven't followed this one. You know, whenever whenever companies have these massively complex structures and, you know, and the poison pill and puts and call all over the place, the market just doesn't even try and fathom it all out, to be honest. You just turn around and look at something else that's more understandable. So I have not followed this one.
Yeah, well, I think the big takeaway is going to be that we'll know Fortress's fate by the 18th of August. We'll see which way that that vote goes. And you know, another big talking point in markets has obviously been the dollar strength, but also there's been a fair amount of rand weaknesses as well. And I see that because Hichu Pinar, the chief economist of the Bureau of Economic Research, tweeted earlier today that there's been a big sell-off in South African bonds, and that certainly hasn't been good for the rand either. So looking at which stocks would benefit from a stronger dollar, there's some pretty enticing names in there. British American Tobacco, probably top of my list.
Yeah, I would think so as well. And probably any sort of, I don't know if we want to call it a utility company, so any brewer, and certainly you know, AB InBev will be up there as well, and maybe even Richmond. Richmond's also looking quite good, actually.
Yeah, I think there are a couple that you could probably put into a stronger dollar for longer portfolio that would do quite nicely over the next 6 months. Yeah. Warren McCurry, Portfolio Manager at F&B Wealth and Investments, thanks so much for your Wednesday market view here on Hot Business ahead of the, not the Fed, it's the Saab tomorrow, and we're both going 75 basis points. You're listening to Hot Business.
Hot 102.7 Business with Michael Avery.